With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, I think I may have found the reason why Brian Gain is hoarding all this cap money, and I'm going to share with you what it is in just a minute. But while we were in the break, couple of things. One, Maryland, 6 seed, beats Belmont, the 11 seed, 79-77.
How's your bracket?
My bracket's okay. I had Belmont winning that game.
I did too.
To me, Rich, I'm not too super worried about the first round unless one of my like Elite Eight or Sweet 16 teams lose. You know what I mean?
You
like,
care far more about your first round wagers, and rightly so.
Yeah, that's where the money is. So I had Belmont plus three, so I was happy. You know, that's it. I'm not going to get Belmont winning another game, but okay, you know, so be it. Yeah, Belmont losing to Maryland and 79-77. Michigan State, they ended up winning their game against Bradley, I believe by double digits. So if you have Michigan State making a deep run, you are safe there. We'll keep an eye on things going on here in the college basketball tournament as we're live at Twin Peaks on Kirkwood. Before we get into this Brian Gain topic here, Clint, you showed me a tweet on your phone that validates the silly season that we're in right now. We just got done talking about Will Grier, the West Virginia quarterback, who Adam Schefter said he got texts from people saying he tore it up at his pro day today. What is this that you're showing me? More Will Grier smoke?
All pro analytics. Take that for what it's worth. I have no clue.
They sound official
is.
To me. It's wow. Got the word analytics in it.
Oh, I think they're legit.
And all pro.
Wow. My phone is exploding with text and calls about West Virginia University's QB Will Grier's pro day. Best, quote, best quarterback performance at a pro day this year by a mile. Now, this is coming on the heels of yesterday Haskins torched his pro day,
yeah.
And then when Kyler Murray got through with his pro day, it was an amazing. They go on again, quote, could go as high as Dolphins at 13 overall, end quote. As we predicted, the rise of Grier has started. Now, there's a chain here going on, and a guy says, I'm old enough to remember when Davis Webb was going round 1-2, and then Benjamin Albright said, Tom Savage.
Yeah, Tom Savage was thought to be a first-round pick at one point.
Nathan Peterman. I mean, they just keep going down the list of all these guys at this time of year.
This is my...
Johnny Manziel.
With the rap
Johnny
music.
Johnny Manziel tore up his pro day.
Yeah, and that's... Okay, and this goes back to my original question in the previous segment, which I don't know that we ever really got around to the answer to, Clint, is what in the blue hell can occur at a pro day that has people going, boy, this guy's pro day was so much better than everybody else's pro day. They're throwing against air.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think the question, this you know this. I mean, if you can see a kid that's caught 85% of his snaps this season from gun, if you can see him really be clean and fluid in his drops, then that's impressive. Kyler Murray is one that he didn't do a lot of that in high school and college. And his drops, I saw two reps, and I was like, yes, that sucker, his drops are clean. He is aware, I can tell by watching him, he is aware of how important his footwork is, his drop work is relative to throwing the ball on time, anticipating routes, being ready to throw on time. And so you can see things like you can see exactly how the ball comes off a guy's hands. You've got guys that, like, if you saw the ball come off my hand and it was just me and you throwing, you'd be like, damn, Clint got a pretty good arm.
Mm-hmm.
But if you saw it come off Aaron Rodgers' hand next to mine, it explodes off of those that level of guys' hands.
Okay.
And so when you're talking about good college, I was a hell of a college quarterback. But when you see me in person, you go, hey, man, the ball doesn't jump off his hand.
Okay.
But when you see some of these guys, Dwayne Haskins is one of them, the ball literally jumps off of his hands. Will Grier's a guy that has always been considered to have a weak arm. He's not big enough. That doesn't have enough pop on the ball. I'm assuming that these guys were there and saw the ball, and apparently it jumps off his hand.
I'm focused way too much on, well, what's the big deal? He completed a bunch of passes. It's not about completing the passes to the guy. It's about all these intangibles need a scouting eye to see.
Well, you'd be amazed, Sean, that how I always tell guys, if your footwork and your balance and your body control is on point, then and you go throw balls on air, and you throw 70 balls, you're probably going to complete 68 of them.
Right.
You know, a couple of long ones, you're probably going to drop short. You're going to drop out of bounds. You'll be a little deep. But you're going to complete a large percentage of them. Whereas a guy with poor footwork, and not a good true power stroke, he's going to complete 50 of 70. Even on air, he's going to struggle consistently throwing certain routes, and you can definitely see that in a pro day, no doubt.
Okay. So I think I told you guys before the break, I found the reason why Brian Gain is hoarding all this cap space. And my thought on this comes from a piece that Aaron Rice did for The Athletic. He covers the Texans for The Athletic that dropped today, titled Examining the Next Round of Potential Texans Free Agents and the Decisions They Must Make. Here's what people maybe don't realize because they're so focused on this offseason, and rightfully so. It's not the job of the average fan to be looking at a three-year window of what the Texans' transactions are going to look like. Fans look at the here and the now and go, spend money, man. Let's go get this. Let's go get that. We know in the NFL you can roll over cap space. You know, you got to spend X amount of money, but it's over a four-year window. You can roll over cap space from year to year. And the Texans still have plenty of cap space to do a few things this year, and I think they're going to still do a few things this year. I hope. From my mouth to God's ears. But he does a pretty good job of illustrating the very busy offseason that the Texans are going to have next year just managing their own house when it comes to contracts. This year was really a three-man free agent class for the Texans. No disrespect to all the defensive linemen they re-signed and to Christian Covington, who got a one-year deal with the Cowboys. This was a three-man free agent class for the Texans they had to worry about. Clowney, Matthew, and Kareem Jackson. Kareem, they didn't even gauge in negotiations. Matthew, it got too rich for their blood. And Clowney's still with the team, but if he plays under the franchise tag, he's right back on this list again next year. So my hypothesis is that Brian Gain, because this is his job, is looking ahead and going, there's a lot of guys we're going to have to figure out in 2020. And I've got the list right here in front of me. I wanted to go through it with the two of you guys and get your thoughts on just the odds that you think these guys end up getting another contract from the Texans or the urgency level of each of these guys to get a contract from the Texans.
Look, Sean, I get it. It's all well and good, but you also have to have some short-term concerns about protecting your quarterback. They thought a year ago at this time they had the pieces in place to do that. We know how wrong they were. I mean, at what expense do you put off these decisions?
I totally agree with you. I think they're going to – if you're asking me, Rich, if you're asking me to handicap, are they going to sign an offensive lineman over the next week, 10 days, you know, whatever we think the free agency window is here, I would bet yes. I don't know that I'd bet a ton, but I think yes is a favorite that they're going to bring in a body at least.
I think that's almost a definite, but at this point, you know, how much quality are we talking about in that player?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't even know how much quality are the guys that got all this big money. I don't know how good Juwan James is and how good Trent Brown's going to be outside of New England and things like that.
Well, they're not. I mean, the Texans aren't going to go, obviously, they're not going to go out and spend that kind of money. I mean,
there's nobody left to spend that kind of money
on. But they wouldn't do it if they could. I mean, it's just they're if there was somebody available. Well, that's just not – I think they've made that loud and clear. They're not going to overspend up front. I mean, it's clearly going to be one of these deals where, again, like we talked about earlier with Khalil, where he's considered a bust, but he obviously has a large amount of talent. And people have thought highly of him across the league for years now, and he's labeled a bust. Him rejuvenating his career – with the Texans, it's going to take those types of stories, one or two of those types of stories, to really shore this thing
up. But I feel
up.
Like there's a time and place element at work here, because I firmly believe that Deshaun Watson is the most valuable asset in the history of this franchise.
I'll agree with that.
So when you're in a situation like that, and that most valuable asset in the history of your franchise has been the most battered quarterback in the NFL, it's time to break out of your norm. It's time to break out of your shell. It's time to do something that people don't expect you to do, even if it goes against whatever organizational philosophy you've come up with in terms of how to deal with these type situations. This is a gigantically urgent situation.
I agree.
So, you know, again, I'm just disappointed. And maybe Trent Brown doesn't turn out to be the player that the money suggests he will be. But to me, you almost have to roll the dice in this situation, and they didn't.
Yeah, I'm willing to wait and just see what it looks like by the time you get to the draft. Because if they do bring in Donald Penn, then I'll be glad they sign him on a 1 or 2 year deal. They're giving Trent Brown 4 years, $66 million. You want it right now. Is what I'm hearing.
No, I just want it.
And, no, I know.
And to this point, it doesn't look like it. The best case scenario from this point forward appears to be Donald Penn is a bridge, and you draft your future franchise left tackle.
Yep.
And that wouldn't be a terrible situation. But Donald Penn's still out there. They haven't brought him in yet.
No, they haven't. They have, and that's why I'm saying,
we hear they're interested, but we haven't heard anything about a visit.
Right. I get it. I can't criticize him for moves that haven't been made yet. You know what I mean? Now, if you like Trent Brown, you can criticize him for not signing Trent Brown. I'm not wild about Trent Brown. That's all.
Right. And look, I'm
at
not
$66 million.
I'm also not going to ignore the fact that, if John McClain says it's true, I believe it. But John told us a while back on this show that they offered Solder last year $16 million. So they did make an attempt to spend big bucks on a franchise cornerstone at left tackle. And they just swung and missed.
Yeah.
Who knows whether or not they made an offer to a Trent Brown or somebody like that that was out there, or Darrell Williams or whoever, before they either re-upped or jumped to a different team. We don't know at this point.
Yeah.
But
here's the deal. My confidence level in next season skyrockets if it's Penn in a first-round draft pick.
Yeah.
I mean, that is – if that's the plan or something of that nature is the plan – I go from being really concerned because of the lack of activity and the lack of depth and the lack of, the lack of really new faces, to be honest with you,
yeah.
I immediately do a 180 and I'm like, I'm pretty stoked about the moves that were made.
That plan fits more what Brian Gaines' behavior has been, Rich, since he got here, than to spend big money on Trent Brown. I know they were in on Nate Solder, and maybe the way it went with Solder in New York, and I know he was better at the end of the year than he was at the beginning of the year, but he still probably wasn't worth $16 million. Maybe that kind of scared him sober a little bit and said, man, it's a good thing we didn't spend $60 million on this guy. I think I'm with you, Clint. If it's Penn and they draft a guy high, and then that gives them some flexibility to either bring the guy along slowly, the guy they draft, maybe start him at right tackle and you put Penn at left tackle, or maybe you let the rookie kind of...
You got options, Sean.
Yeah, you let the rookie... I mean, look, people forget Dwayne Brown split snaps with Ephraim Salaam his rookie year in 2008, and Dwayne Brown was an all-pro 3 years later. It's not the worst thing in the world. Maybe the guy ends up splitting snaps with Donald Penn, that kind of thing. Who knows? So here are the eight names that Aaron Rice has in this article of guys the Texans are going to have to take care of next year. And I'll admit, I hadn't even looked through this yet to realize, holy crap, there's a lot of stuff that's on Brian Gaines' ticket for next year. The first one is Clowney, in all likelihood, is going to be right back at the pay window again,
Yeah. Wondering
what they're going to do. Rich, you just said he would be the guy you would give a contract to first among all the Houston athletes right now. So I think we know where you stand with that.
Yes.
There's an urgency with Clowney. Clint, do you think Clowney is going to be a long-term Houston Texan when 2020 rolls around?
Oh,
or will
man.
He be franchise tagged again?
Man, I think they'll franchise tag him again. If you put me in a corner, you make me choose right now, I think they franchise tag him again.
I think
everybody believes that he contributes at an extremely high level. I think everybody, we talked about it last week, Sean, when he walks in the door, I think everybody looks at him and goes, man, he's playing at a high level right now and he's not even near his ceiling. It could be so much better. But needless to say, there's still reasons, or at least I've been led to this point, believe there's still reasons why that there's not a long-term commitment in place already. So I'm going to go with franchise tag again next year.
Two tags would be just under $40 million for Clowney over a two-year period. It wouldn't be the long-term deal he's seeking, but it also wouldn't suck.
No, not for him. No,
and it would also be a major expenditure for the Texans.
It would.
Just
would
because it's not a long-term deal doesn't mean they're not pouring big money into this.
Again, it would probably count more against their cap to do it that way than to do a long-term deal where you're spreading bonus money out over multiple years and things like that. DJ Reader extension is something Aaron Rice has on the list.
Up.
His rookie deal. This is the last year of his rookie deal. I would be surprised if they didn't offer him an extension already, and he may just have looked at it and said, I'm going to try to test the market. Yes. Fifth-round pick, he may get paid big bucks.
Yeah.
I don't know. If you guys had to flip a coin, do you think DJ Reader is a long-term Houston Texan?
I actually do.
You do?
Yes.
Okay.
I do.
Man, I don't know. I view him as a guy that's replaceable, but if he fits in there and again being drafted here, he's probably been a model student along the way. And if this coaching staff really loves him, I remember when I was in Dallas, a guy named Brandon Noble was there, and he was one of those guys you'd never, I mean, unless you were just a crazy Cowboy fan, you'd probably never even know his name, but he was there for him 4 or 5 years, then he ends up going to Washington, ends up having an 8 or 9, 10-year career, yep. And he's a guy that you just go, hey, he just did what he was supposed to do, man.
This feels like the tier of free agent that the Texans have let walk in previous years. You know what I mean? Like the DJ Reader, some team's going to overpay for DJ Reader to be in their defensive line. Will Fuller's fifth-year option comes up next year, which I think Will Fuller's going to be a fascinating test
case. You can't answer that question today.
Yeah.
We have to see Will Fuller in 2019 to answer that question.
They will exercise.
Because it could be one end of the spectrum or the other.
It's all health with him. If he's healthy.
I need Fuller to play 12 games.
Yep.
At least.
Think about how low that bar is. 12 games.
I'm just telling you, I mean, he's super special when he's on the field.
Yep.
But here's the thing, though, Sean. I don't know that Fuller is a super special guy if he's a one.
Yeah.
Playing opposite Hopkins is ideal. Beautiful.
And there's a strong case to be made, at least to this point, that Will Fuller just can't take the grind of playing in the NFL.
Yeah, given the nature of his injuries, that's a good point. You know, a lot of just batters, you know, broken rib because he gets popped.
I know he put on extra weight, but he doesn't have a huge frame.
No, he doesn't. That said, May 2nd, his fifth-year option is getting exercised. They exercise Kevin Johnson's. They're going to exercise Will Fuller's, for anybody wondering. Chantrell Henderson, what if he proves to be a viable right tackle? He's on a one-year deal.
I do. I think they extend him. I think he is.
Yeah.
We're talking about
he starts and plays the whole year.
If the kind of improvement is made to where that guy is not part of the team in 2020,
then
Gaines a busy man over the next 10 months.
Yep.
Yeah.
If he's rolling.
If Henderson's the regular right tackle for most, if not all of the season, yeah, you want him back.
Two more I want to do here real quick. Whitney Mercilus. Is Whitney Mercilus a Houston Texan in 2020?
Not if he has another season like he had in 2018.
I'm just going to say right now, I don't think he will be. I think I have a hard time envisioning, barring injury to Clowney or Watt or holdout with Clowney, them putting Mercilus back in the position that he was in 15 and 16 when he was getting double-digit sacks.
So, agreed. Clowney takes away from his clock, and I think he moves on.
Nick Martin extension. You guys think Nick Martin is a Houston Texan long term?
I do. I think he is again, because if they somehow find three interior linemen two deep, three interior linemen better than him, I think Gaines done a hell of a job.
It's another one where I want to say I need another year because I'm not yet fully convinced.
But what do you
Nick
think?
Martin.
If you had to bet right now, you think Nick Martin is a Texan in 2020?
Yes.
Yeah, I do too. I do too. It fits the profile of we want to draft our guys and build around those guys, and he's a second round pick. I think that matters. To the team. I know they say it doesn't matter where you were drafted. I think that he was drafted in the second round. There was a significant investment in draft capital made in him.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.